2 of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside Pablo Giamatti, also known as John Rudolph, behind the dials. But joining us in studio is the infamous Tyler Copeland, former pro wrestling epic champion. He has a match coming up on Sunday, August 6th, against current WWE champion Mephisto. Am I pronouncing that name right?
Yep, that's it, Matt.
No, it doesn't matter. He's going to lose anyway, right?
Most definitely. That is the plan. That's why we're training, and we're going to make it happen.
It's been, what, like maybe a year since the last time I've seen you, and you're still shredded, man. You're still cut. You still got the guns.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, it has been just about a year. I think almost to the date, really. I saw a memory on Facebook the other day, so it's very close to
you know what?
Year.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think I saw the same thing. You got your, was that an Andre the Giant t-shirt?
It is, classic.
Yeah, that is badass, man. I can't wait for that documentary about his life to come out because it was beyond interesting. And I've had Mean Gene Okerlund on a couple times, and we would talk about all the famous stories that you would hear about Andre the Giant, about him getting drunk and passing out in the lobby of a hotel, and he's too big to move, so they just let him go. So you can imagine, you're checking into the hotel, and then you look over to your left, and there's, you know, the 7 foot, 500 pound Andre the Giant passed out drunk.
Yeah, and there has never been anybody like Andre, too, so he's definitely somebody who's always stood out, always been an interesting character, and just a great mind. And, you know, it's a shame that he passed away so young, but definitely has a great story. I'm looking forward to that documentary as well.
Gigantism, man. I mean, it's such a horrible disease, and that's what he had. I mean, people were like, well, he was just big. No, he actually had gigantism. And if you're that big, honestly, what can you really do with your life? Like, let's say he wasn't a wrestler, but I mean, like, if you're going to be 7 foot five and 500, like, you know, 7 foot or whatever he was, and 500 pounds, I mean, you're not exactly going to go work in an office someplace.
Most definitely. See, me being 5'7", I can't imagine what it would be like to be 6 feet tall. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let alone 7 feet tall.
Well, you can buy lifts now. I saw an advertisement for it. Like, go from 5'11 to 6'1". I'm like, okay, I mean, like, eventually you're going to have to take those shoes off. You're not going to be like Costanza and wear those Timberlands the entire time. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to have to take those shoes off. And let's say you're at a bar and you meet a girl, and she's kind of like, I mean, you know, like, girls are always complaining that men are superficial, but women are just as bad. And I heard a lot of girls say that if the guy isn't over 6 feet tall, I won't talk to him.
Yep.
So if you're 6'1", you got these lifts on, you take her, you know, let's say things progress, and you go back to her place or back to your place, you take your shoes off, and next thing you know, you're, you know, 5'8". She's going to be like, what the hell?
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, man, if you do see any of those lifts that, you know, add about 5 inches of height, let me know, because I'll be the first one to jump on those.
I'll let you know, like, if Gene Simmons has some kind of a garage sale where he's getting rid of those platform shoes. There you go. You can wear that whenever you wrestle. So, like, your wrestling career, when did you start wrestling? What age?
So really I started wrestling professionally about 3 years ago. So I would have been about 22 at the time.
Okay.
And it's really slowed down since then. This year I've really taken a lot more of a part-time role with it. Like last year, as we talked about before, it was just about every weekend thing. Now it's just every couple months. I'm only wrestling with Wrestling Over Everything. And obviously that's going well because we got that championship match coming up.
Sure. What was the reason for the slowdown? Just kind of getting older or losing interest or injuries or what is it?
Not, I haven't really had too many major injuries. I separated my shoulder. That was just about it.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, it kept me out of the gym for a while, which mentally kind of messed with me.
Yeah.
But I took a focus on acting, which I'm still kind of, you know, taking a focus on. But my foot is still in the door with wrestling. So, you know, that's where we're kind of moving forward.
I know you auditioned for Big Brother a few years ago. I do want to talk about that, but we'll get back to that. I still want to stick here with the wrestling. Now, did you wrestle in high school?
I did not. I didn't get athletic until after high school, actually. Yeah. Surprising. I was
that's like you kept trying to tell people. I didn't get athletic until after high school.
I graduated high school at about 125 pounds, so I was very tiny graduating high school.
Okay.
5'7" still. Never got any taller.
So what did you do? Like, you're just kind of like watching TV and you saw like The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're like, you know what? That's kind of cool. I think I want to get into that and join the gym and start drinking the protein shakes and...
Well, you know, I was a wrestling fan all my life, so I was always interested in that, and, you know, I still am to this day. And just over time, it eventually became something to where I was connected with the right people, and then I could jump into it and, you know, got training from some of the better guys in the area, including my opponent, who I'm going to be facing August 6th, so that all kind of leads together.
So what school did you go to? Did you go to Dynamo Pro to learn how to do all the falls and stuff like that?
Well, at the time, there was a school open for the South Broadway Athletic Club wrestling promotion, MMWA. So that's where I went and did the majority of my training, which was done with Brandon Espinosa. A lot of it was also done with Mephisto,
okay,
who I'll be stepping in the ring with August 6th.
I got you. Yeah. Okay, so Mephisto sounds like he's been around a while then.
Yeah, he's been around about a little over 10 years or so, right around 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you have some of these smaller circuits, who decides, you know, I'm not like trying to poke fun and say wrestling's fake, but it is predetermined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, who decides on the outcome of the match? Like, okay, you know, hey, you know what? I'm the champion. I'm going to win. I'm winning tonight. Do you know that going? I'm not looking for you to give it away. But, like, on some of these smaller circuits, who determines what the outcome's going to be and how do you choreograph all that?
Well, you know, generally it's going to be up to whoever's running the show, the booker.
Okay.
Who's kind of, you know, writing who's going to win, who's going to lose, things of that nature. So it's all going to kind of come down to that, and that sometimes changes the day of, sometimes it changes a couple hours before, so
okay.
Usually nobody will know ahead of time.
And have you wrestled Mephisto before?
Never wrestled him before.
Okay.
So this will be a first time.
So it's going to be coming one of those things too, where you're not familiar with how he operates in the ring and how he's not familiar with how you operate in the ring too. I would imagine there's got to be a little bit of danger in that.
Well, the thing is, if we look at tape on Mephisto, how he used to operate in the ring, if we're looking back towards the, you know, late 2000s, 2008, 2009, we're looking at a time where he was a guy who was very violent, would do whatever it took to win a match. Maybe he'd even get weapons involved. In recent years, he's grown a lot softer, Matt.
Okay.
So that's why I think this is the time to strike. This is the time to take the WOE championship from Mephisto.
Well,
so
and really, I hope you do.
Yeah, that's the plan.
But what I'm talking about is that, okay, let's say that, you know, like not him, but someone else, someone that you're unfamiliar with, you've never been in the ring before, and he's got you up in the air because he's going to suplex you or he's going to do something. You got to be thinking, I hope I can trust this guy that he is going to do the right thing and allow me to fall that I need to fall so I don't get seriously injured. There has to be that kind of element of fear in your mind.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and it just comes down to trust. You know, you have to trust who you're in there with.
It's just as simple as that, huh?
Simple as that, and people do get hurt. They get hurt all the time. Like I separated my shoulder wrestling, you know, about a year ago as well. I think right after we had our interview last year, I think I separated my shoulder like the weekend after.
Okay.
So
now you are, you're not a very big guy. I mean, you got muscle on you.
I'm short.
Yeah. But you're not huge. So I would imagine you're more of a high flyer than you are kind of like one of those rough and tumble types, like a Hulk Hogan or a Rock. You're more like Shawn Michaels.
You'd be surprised. I actually, a lot of what I do, has to do with like power moves and strikes and things like that. A lot of the guys in the wrestling scene are much smaller. So I'm actually considered one of the bigger guys, believe it or not.
Are you really?
Obviously at like a WWE level or things like that, that wouldn't be the case. But on the circuit that I'm on, I would definitely be considered one of the bigger guys, believe it or not.
What is your finishing move and can you do that on Rockio?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can't. Maybe save it for the end of the interview, just because we don't want, you know.
Well, I mean, Rocky, you've already got blisters on the soles of your feet from running barefoot on 100-degree asphalt. Why not? What? So.
Yeah, I don't need any other medical bills, so let's not.
This
Giamatti looks like he's rearing ready to go.
You can't do that to Pablo. You can't. I mean, you're like I said, you've already proven that you're willing to do dumb things because you're dared. So all I have to do is just dare
I'm good
you.
For once a week. Maybe once a month probably might be smarter.
Have you ever wrestled barefoot? Would you ever do that in the ring? Wrestle barefoot?
Oh, that's a tough
one. Would you know
it's
not a good idea?
I could wrestle barefoot. I could. I've never done it, no, but it'd be a little awkward.
Right now,
it can be done.
So are you still a wrestling fan? Like you'll still watch, you know, Raw. You'll still watch SmackDown. You still watch all of that.
I'll tell you what, I mean, it's tough to watch it nowadays. It's really like aimed towards kids, especially stuff on the TV.
Okay.
And I like a more storyline based type show. And a lot of what's on TV nowadays is either they're aiming towards kids or they're aiming towards in ring, just like niche wrestling crowd, type audience. Who's just there to see a really good wrestling match, and really storylines and characters have kind of taken a back seat, unlike they did back in the Attitude Era, when wrestling was the biggest it's ever been. So a lot of that, what made it big has taken a back seat to these, a focus on wrestling and maybe a focus on, marketing to kids. So I'm really kind of turned off by it lately.
I have not. I mean, I watched WWE Raw as War a lot when I was in college, and it was funny. Like it was just entertaining to watch, And like you said, it really wasn't geared towards kids. Like they had a lot of it was a lot of sexual humor, a lot of crass humor in it, and it was just hysterical to watch.
Yeah,
I really didn't care about the matches. You know, like, if the matches were going on, if it wasn't anybody that was all that interested, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch something else and then flip it back on Raw whenever they're doing something that I think might be actually funny or entertaining.
Yeah.
So are you feeling like that's kind of like the same way now, too, where it's kind of like more cartoonish or?
Definitely more cartoonish. And like I said, I think it's mainly aimed towards that crowd that, you know, is going to be more interested in just the wrestling match itself versus, you know, a character or a storyline-driven show, which is fine. You know, that has its place. I just don't think that should be the main focus.
Right now, who's the best wrestler in the business, right, in your opinion, right now? Who's number one? That they got, they're the best in the ring, the best outside of the ring.
That is a tough one. That is a tough one.
I mean, I saw that Triple H is still doing this. I mean, how is he still doing that? He's going to be beaten to a pulp.
Triple H is awesome. I don't know how he's still doing it. I think, you know, with the limited schedule that he has now, I think that kind of will keep him in there a long time. He's wrestling maybe once or twice a year.
I think also who he's married to might, you know,
well, sure,
be helping along the situation. Not only is she pushing him along, he helps pay the bills, but if Stephanie McMahon was asking me to do anything, I wouldn't be worrying about my health 10 years down the road either.
Okay, but I mean, like, can they give him, like, a front office job now? Get him in booking and mm-hmm. setting the matches and maybe coaching and handling the business side, but he's still there in the ring tearing muscles.
Well, he is handling the business side of their developmental.
Oh, is he? Okay.
NXT, so he's, you know, bringing talent in there. He's booking the shows there. And to go back to the question earlier, I'd have to go with AJ Styles, his current
AJ best Styles.
In-ring worker currently.
When you see some of these wrestlers who get, you know, they go into wrestling and then they get into MMA, like someone like Brock Lesnar, who obviously was pretty successful at it, and then you have someone like CM Punk, who had this big, huge buildup to his match, and then when they finally had his match, he kind of embarrassed himself, and he hasn't had one since. So do you see, like, you know, as yourself, I mean, I don't know, like, right now you're in your early 30s, any desire to get into, like, MMA or anything like that?
Myself, no, I don't have that desire. In general, you know, wrestlers transferring over to MMA, if they have enough time to train, I think it, you know, it'd definitely be a possibility. If they have like a wrestling background, like a Brock Lesnar did, or even a Bobby Lashley did, obviously they're going to have a better time in it. Punk, I think, was just kind of older and, you know, didn't have any experience in it. So, I think that was kind of the case with him.
I'm hearing today that there is going to be an eventual MMA super match between Brock Lesnar and John Bones Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And that they have to wait until it is Brock Lesnar's WWE contract is over, and then they're going to have it. And I'm like, I mean, this is kind of like, this is the result of the Mayweather-McGregor fight, where the world's just going mad. Yep. I mean, you had Mayweather-McGregor, then you had Michael Phelps race a shark, and now you're going to have this. I mean, you have cats and dogs living together. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and the 590 The Fan WWE correspondent Larry Nickel is on the phone with us. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing okay, guys.
What's on your mind, sir?
You were talking about Brock Lesnar doing an MMA fight?
Yeah, that was the rumor I was hearing today, that once his WWE contract is over, that he's talking about getting back in the octagon and he may fight John Bones Jones.
Well, all depends if he holds the Universal title hostage, like Jeff Jarrett almost did with the Intercontinental title back in 1999.
Jeff Jarrett was thinking about going into MMA?
No. Jared's contract is over before the No Mercy interview.
Ah, I gotcha. So he thinks that AJ Styles, Tyler does, he thinks that AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the game right now. Larry, who do you think it is?
I'll have to go John Cena.
It's still John Cena. I'll tell you what, I saw that that Tour de Pharmacy on HBO, and John Cena's in it, and he is hysterical. Hysterically funny, because he plays this Austrian cyclist who, like, a year ago was the size of Joe, and then now he is John Cena, like, just ripped out of his gorge, and he says it's got nothing to do with PEDs. And he was hysterically funny. I'm like, John Cena has a legitimate career outside the ring. Now, I saw him in Trainwreck and a couple other things, but, I mean, like, he didn't really strike me as someone who was really all that great. Tour de Pharmacy, he's amazing.
Yeah, his acting over the years is definitely improving, and I think after wrestling, he's going to have a career in acting for sure.
So, August 6th, your match, where's it at?
It's going to be in Centerville, Illinois, at the River's Edge Complex, starting at 6 p.m., and that is me one-on-one with Mephisto. Larry Nickel, you're going to be there, right?
Yeah, thanks to your dad.
Yeah, I'm getting Larry Nickel a ride over to the show.
Of course. Yeah. Larry, I think you ought to walk Tyler to the ring. What do you think?
Well, depending on if a certain person will let me do it.
Who's a certain person that we got to sweet talk? What kind of skids do we have to grease to get this job done, Larry? Who do we have to talk to?
Tyler knows who I'm talking about.
Tyler, who's he talking about? Can we say it on the air or not?
Who are you talking about, Larry? I'm actually not sure.
The guy who took over your job as promoter of WOE.
Oh, the landlord?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We got to take him out.
Okay, so we can shake. Okay, he's a landlord. I mean, look, how big can he be? We can shake him down, right? Come on, Larry.
Okay.
Larry, you got to call him up and say, you're the all-powerful Larry Nickel from 590 The Fan. And listen, I know you don't swear, but maybe you ought to, damn it, George, you ought to swear and say, listen, mother bleeper, I'm walking down there with the infamous Tyler Colvin. We're walking down in the ring, and you're not going to stop me. And see what he does. Dare him, man.
I will do that.
All right, Larry, that's what I like to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Have a good night.
Okay.
That is the fantastic Larry Nickel. And why someone, I mean, I'm being serious, like Larry loves wrestling. And he is, and it's not just like the WWE. Mm-hmm. I see him at the Dynamo Pro events. I see him talking about it all the time. And why someone hasn't made like Larry Nickel like one of like, you know, kind of like their escorts or managers.
Most definitely.
I'll never know. I mean, come on, man. Give the guy a break.
I know he's involved with Dynamo pretty well.
He talks about Dynamo Pro all the time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I legitimately am getting him a ride to the show, so he will be there August 6th. That was real.
I think you got to get him, like, you know, have him rent out like a tuxedo and have him, you know, walk you down to the ring. Yeah, class it up a little bit. Have you ever had anybody like that, though, like worked with another person, like as an escort or as a valet? You know, you always see it was like Randy Savage had Miss Elizabeth. And then you see some of the other ones. I know they're no longer divas. They're called something else. But they used to have, like, Trish Stratus would walk down with somebody. Stacey Keibler would walk down with somebody. Ever, you know, anything like that?
Have I ever had a valet?
Yeah.
I haven't. And that's just because, you know, I like to definitely cut promos and use the microphone whenever I can.
I got you.
I think valets a lot of
times. You don't
want to
share the spotlight. I see how you are.
Well, maybe a little bit. I think valets are usually saved for, you know, some of the people who maybe struggle a little bit more with the mic and things like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that obviously if they're strong in the ring, but they struggle a little bit with the mic, you put a valet with them. You know what I mean?
And I think that maybe certainly Randy Savage did not have his problem.
Oh, not at all.
But
no.
Maybe a wrestler that has trouble getting over with the crowd.
Yes.
Like you said, maybe they're good in the ring.
Most definitely.
On the microphone, they're not very good, or they're just... Maybe their gimmick takes a little more time to develop.
Yes.
So you're going to be like, hey, you know what? This person's worth holding on to, but we need to make sure that the fans are still going to be interested in him. Let's have him, you know, let's have this woman walk down to the ring with him.
Exactly. And I mean, think of Lesnar without Paul Heyman. That would be an example.
Exactly.
He'd still be over, but Paul Heyman, you know, really gets him over even more, just, you know, by his verbiage.
You can make the argument that the greatest wrestler of all time was The Undertaker, and he had a valet starting out.
Paul Bearer,
yeah, he would walk down looking like a ghoul with the urn. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how long that guy wrestled, man. I mean, I can't imagine how badly his body hurts when he gets up.
Oh, I mean, you could just tell in his last few matches, just by the way he was struggling to get through it, that he was definitely in pain. And I hear rumors, actually, he's going to come back for one more match.
What is wrong with him? Is he broke?
Yeah, he's broken down. I don't know.
No,
what's going on
financially, is
he
broke?
There's no way he's financially broke.
Then I don't understand. I mean, why do it?
It's all he's done all his life, really, career-wise, so you probably miss it.
Oh,
after
sure, but okay,
it.
Like, look, I'm 40 years old, and I remember him wrestling when I was a child, but I was, like, in junior high, grade school. So if I'm 40, when he started doing that, he's got to be pushing 60.
Mm-hmm.
60, 65. He's no spring chicken.
Yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make. So, I mean, like, what are you trying to prove by doing this? This is about as asinine as running barefoot on the asphalt.
I think it's just like the Ric Flair situation where that's all they were used to, and they just keep going and keep going.
Come on, I'm going to give you grief about this, man. Until your blisters heal, you're going to get grief about it. That's the way it's going to go, Rockio.
It's uncalled for. Eric Messersmith's fault.
Let's take a commercial break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to be still having fun with our friend Tyler Copeland, the infamous Tyler Copeland. He has a match August 6th at Centerville, Illinois, against
Mephisto.
Mephisto. I knew I was going to forget his name. Back with more right this, right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.